Wendy Snyder here with you. It's a Wednesday, which means it is time for This Week in Chicago History, sponsored by visitUIHealth.care. And joining us right now for it is Anna DeVlantis. Hi, Anna.
Good morning. Hey, Wendy. How are you?
I'm great. The Bears coming off four back-to-back wins. Pretty exciting.
I'm super excited about that. And Mike Ditka, who just celebrated a birthday this week in 1939, may also be excited about that, to see his beloved Bears doing well. So this is the week, 1939, Wendy, when Mike Ditka was born. 21 years later, he joined the Bears as a rookie tight end. 21 years after that, he became the Bears head coach. And as you and I and everyone listening right now knows, he was as colorful off the field as on. The tough talking thing, that didn't just stay on the field, it came off, and he could face off with the best of them. We pulled this montage. I think you'll really appreciate, Wendy. Mike Ditka over the years at the podium, in front of the microphone. Some of his most famous clips, by the way, were off the field. And he'd just snap back at reporters and the regular guys who would ask him questions he didn't like, and see if you remember any of these magical moments. Don't you just love those moments?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's the best.
So happy 86th birthday.
How old?
And even fans, Wendy. He's 86.
Okay.
And stopped smoking cigars, his wife Diana says. So I don't know how he celebrated, but happy birthday to the coach.
The coach. Excellent. I hope he's celebrating today.
Yeah. So another one here. Okay, go back to this week, 1931, Wendy. I think you'll enjoy this clip, too, because it's Al Capone, and we all know his history to Chicago. Sometimes we get a little tired of the connection, but it's interesting to go back into Chicago's history to this moment in time. As we all know, Capone's downfall didn't happen in like a hail of bullets or some late-night surrender. He never faced charges for violent crimes, but it came in the form of this meticulous federal paperwork investigation. The financial crime revealed that his illegal business deals, the bootlegging, the prostitution, the gambling, and the racketeering had elicited some illegal profits that he never paid taxes on. So this month, 1931, Al Capone was convicted of five counts of tax evasion. The judge made this crucial move in the trial. He completely swapped out the entire jury because they were known for witness tampering. And here's a clip that looks back at the news coverage of the time. 1931, the infamous Al Capone was facing his fate.
That is Al, 11 years in prison.
Yeah, think about that. You know, it's not the way everyone expected him to go down. And it was just sort of interesting, too, Wendy, because they used this 1927 Supreme Court ruling, United States versus Sullivan, which found that illegal income is still taxable. I don't know how many bootleggers or people running prostitution rings were filing taxes, but they said you had to, and that's how they got him. Kind of a tricky way to get him, but it was just he was so slick, right? You know, he was one of those guys that they knew he was attached to so many violent crimes, including the Valentine's Day massacre. They had evidence of this, they thought, but not enough to get him, and that was how he did his time. 11 years, started serving it at that time in Alcatraz, but then health issues took over and ultimately, you know, led to his later death, you know. So
yeah,
that was the end.
All right. When you were growing up, did you ever walk around with a book on top of your head and try and have great posture?
You know, I'm going to admit that I think I did try that once or twice
yeah.
when I was a little. Did you do it too?
Yes. I think every girl did that because of this charm school, right?
Yeah, remember these charm schools of the day, and this is really super interesting, Wendy, because I pulled this information about Marshall Fields running a special charm school, 1946, for the famous elevator girls. They were making headlines. Have you ever heard of the elevator girls at Marshall Fields?
No.
Have you heard of that?
Uh-uh.
I hadn't either. I didn't know they were a thing, but apparently these were typically young women who operated the many elevators that ran through the department store, and they were considered this important part of the shopper experience, an extension of the Fields brand. Like, sometimes they were the first faces you'd see who would greet you. They were the ones you'd interact with first at the flagship store. So Marshall Fields set up this whole charm school, like this finishing school, to help these girls become the, you know, representatives of the brand the way they saw it. So they not only learned elevator operational activities, but they also learned things like how to pronounce the floors and the merchandise with distinct clarity, like lingerie, floor 3, or millinery. I don't even know if I said that right. Floor 5. That would be the hat shop, Wendy.
Oh, okay.
Millinery? I don't know.
I don't know that that's it.
I might have not nailed. I definitely wouldn't have passed, I guess, apparently, in my current state. You were trained this for, anyway, for this, like, polite way of interacting and welcoming people. And it's just interesting, total throwback moment in time. But Marshall Field's Charm School became so talked about that, like, Life magazine did special reports on it, and it was known as this rigorous 8-week program. So I don't know. Think you could have made it through that one, Wendy?
No, but I just walked with the book on my head because I thought, you know, Charm School, I thought they were getting us ready for a pageant, which I was never in either. What did you say? A millinery? Because you're right, if that's it.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Millinery. It's a word we don't really use, but it's a hat shop.
A hat shop that specializes in millinery sells handcrafted, fashionable hats, often for women. So that explains it.
There you go. And bric-a-brac was another one for, like, the little decor trinkets and, you know, things we see around the house kind of thing. That was another floor they had to learn. And I don't know if I said that one right either.
Yes. You did.
Corrected.
I would have, I don't know, maybe we both would have flunked. Who knows?
I think so. But it's fun to think about, you know, just the way it was, right? The way it was.
Yeah. Things are very different now. And, you know, people used to dress a little better, too. Get all dressed up to go out and do things, like on airplanes especially.
Right, or even going shopping back then. You look at the photos, the old photos from inside the Field store, and women had their hats, and they had their skirts, and their shoes just right, and their pantyhose, and they probably walked like they had a book on their head. You know,
right.
When they walked through the store.
And that's why they had to go to the millinery to get a new hat. So see, it all comes together.
Nailed it, Wendy. I love how you said that. That was perfect.
All right, well, thank you so much. I love this segment. She's Anna DeVlantes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Wendy.
All right, this week in Chicago history.